Just a heads up, the Razzball Football Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
Show might make your muscles start to spasm. It may even cause some of you to orgasm.
It's the Razzball Podcast. You need fantasy help.
Well, we think you'll prefer us. We rock the mic so hard we should ride in the tour. We'll make you shoot all down your leg like your Plaxico Burris.
It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast.
It's Razzball, baby.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the Razzball Football Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Capozzi, and today we've got a really interesting show for you. This is our last show before we go into our weekly trend show that's going to start next week. So today what we've done is we've pieced together some interesting interviews with some interesting people. And who are they, you're asking? And where's JB? Well, JB is just not here this week because he is in a mega dynasty draft. But he will be back next week. And again, next week, JB and I will be on every single week. We'll be giving you everything you need to know to help you win your league throughout the regular season. You can also follow us at Twitter. I am at Nick Capozzi, N-I-C-K-C-A-P-O-Z-Z-I. And JB is at JB Gilpin, J-B-G-I-L-P-I-N. Now, if you're listening to this podcast, I know you've been to Razzball.com and you've clicked on football. That's how you found us. But that's where you're going to find all your cheat sheets to get you ready for the draft, all your tiers, all your rankings, everything you need to know. But something else that you definitely want to check out this year, this is something that I've started using a lot and I'm really excited about. It's the Cheat Sheet Wizard. You can find it at cheatsheetwizard.com. And what it allows you to do is you can actually go in and pre-rank all your players, but this is a beautiful application. There's way more you can do with it. You can actually go in and simulate a draft. So if you're in a league and you know your draft position, you can go in, sim a draft. If there's keepers in the league, you can actually go and input everyone's keepers and you can simulate it to give you an idea, because that's tough to do with other software options. Another thing that is really cool, there's a draft assistant, but this is really neat. And I'm actually going to be live drafting later during this podcast for my Razzball Commentators League team. I'm going to be using Cheat Sheet Wizard because I can sync the Cheat Sheet Wizard to my actual draft. So what that's going to allow me to do is that as the players are drafted throughout the league, it's going to be constantly updated on my cheat sheet from cheatsheetwizard.com, and it's going to line me up perfectly for the draft. So I'm really excited about that, and we'll keep you posted on how that goes. I'll actually give you an update on how my draft went in next week's podcast with JB and I. So today, I did promise you some special guests, and we have them. Our first guest today is Sean Salisbury, former NFL quarterback. He's doing a bunch of stuff right now. He's doing some college football Saturdays. He's also got his own show daily, so he's going to tell you all about that. But he is a fascinating guy. He probably knows quarterbacks as well as anyone else. He was an NFL quarterback. He was a quarterback for USC. And of course, hey, he started for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, also in the Canadian Football League. So Sean will be joining us a little bit later in the show. We're also, I'm digging deep for this one. I'm going to drag Rudy Gamble from Razzball Fantasy Baseball because my man Rudy is a big New York Giants fan. Well, maybe we'll call him a Jets fan just as a joke. But we're going to get a little bit of football insight. Rudy knows his football, so we'll just take a couple minutes with Rudy too. At the end of the podcast, I'll have a rundown too of everything that's happened in the NFL this week. So that is our show today. So without further ado, let's get to my man, Sean Salisbury. Sean, welcome to the Razzball Football Podcast.
Honored to be with you, my man. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Now, Sean, we do want to get to football, but there's one thing I wanted to get to first. I know you were heavily recruited by multiple schools back in the 80s, including USC and UCLA. When I think of the 80s, I think of the hair, the music, and a lot of extracurricular activities. What was it like getting recruited to USC back in the early 80s?
You know, I was fortunate because I guess at that time, what the USA Today is now a Parade magazine was, I was a Parade magazine All-American quarterback. And, you know, I was more of a baseball and basketball guy. I was recruited in all three sports. And I didn't know how to put pads in when I went to high school. I didn't play football. The coach saw me throw, and my dad said, well, let's give it a try. I mean, I loved football, but I played tackle in the field with at the park with my buddies. I never played. So, you know, going through that, I always had my sights set on being a professional baseball or basketball player, and was all the way through. Even when I was playing football and getting recruited, I was still basketball and baseball were on my mind. But I can remember, I think it was the University of Texas, my sophomore year at spring practice showed up, and my coach came up to me and said, they're already starting to come. I said, I haven't even played it down to varsity football yet. You know, we were laughing, but, you know, I was big and tall, so they, I don't mean that arrogant at all, because it was all new to me. But then all of a sudden, the recruiting thing kicks in, and you know, when you get recruited by USC, you know, getting a telegram from Bob Hope from SMU telling you, you know, recruiting you there, and you're eating with Magic Johnson on your recruiting trip and Jerry Buss to USC, and wow. It was overwhelming to me because I wasn't into all this. The celebrity thing's never bothered me, and never been big to me, and still isn't. But it was, like, overwhelming because there was times when I didn't want to come home, because when I came home at one point, there was, like, six or seven recruiters waiting in order to talk to me, and my dad said, you got to get home. And I was trying to be respectful. It was like, man, I didn't know what to do. So when you take a recruiting trip and get recruited by that many people, and one would come in and the next would come in and they were camped out, it was, and you'd look up in the stands, there'd be 30 of them during your basketball game. It was overwhelming to me, but to be recruited, I was honored and blessed. And, you know, not only with God-given talent, but I worked at it. And I wasn't one of those kids that came in and sat on the couch. I was playing ball and studied it, playing it and playing it and playing it. And, you know, to be able to be recruited and play with guys like Marcus Allen and Ronnie Lott and Dennis Smith and Charlie White and all the great players, you know, Tim McDonough, I mean, the list goes on and on. These Hall of Fame players, these Pro Bowl players, it was an honor. And, you know, wish I had blown out my knee twice and had no anterior cruciate ligament, but I owe no apology. It was a great run, and having been able to play there and playing some big games and then go on and play pro football for 10 years, I feel pretty honored. It just was a different path than I expected, but being recruited by USC is one of the great thrills of my life.
That's fantastic. Now, actually, that's interesting that you brought up, because you were kind of today's prototypical quarterback size back in the day. And I'm just curious, as a guy who understands the position so well, how would someone from your era fit in today's passing game?
No problem. If you know offense and are willing to study, I mean, whether it's West Coast, I mean, I've played in a bunch of different offenses. Now, if you're talking about, heck, every quarterback I know, we would have loved to play in a four-wide, empty the backfield, getting a shotgun and throw it. Hell, that'd be no problem at all. The question is, can those guys who do that play in the type of offense that we used to play in? A power eye, play action fake, that kind of stuff. That's the difference. Can you get under center and play real man football instead of sitting in a crunch 45 throws a game? Okay, so it's not us. You think Dan Marino have trouble? No, John Elway, no offense, I'm not in their class. I would have no trouble dropping back and throwing a 50. It'd be like shooting fish in a barrel. I mean, it'd be nice. It'd be fun. Whether you're getting guys like, you know, matchup problems, but it'd be no problem making the adjustment. I know it's more specialized, but you know what? Nobody's going to tell me that the guys back when I was playing, or even that they couldn't play now. I think it's a difficult game. It's the hardest position in the world of sports to play, quarterback is. But nah, nowadays, I mean, a lot of times teams are cutting the field in half, and now it's, you take a snap, put your foot in the ground, and throw it to the first guy that's open. I mean, we don't even get to the third and fourth progression in some of these college offenses now. So I don't think playing in today's offense be great. Plus, they protect the quarterback more, not to take as many hits. So not that I'm taking anything away from these guys. They're special. They are special. But could I play in this? Yeah, I could play. And judging from the second half of some of the quarterbacks I see in the lower half of the NFL, there's no question in my mind I can play, but I'm not into the measurables. I'm a 6'5", 230-pound guy when I played, but I think it's overrated. I loved Russell Wilson coming out of college and love him now. I thought he was a steal of the draft. I did. I said it before he even got picked. I said, if this guy's not picked by the third round, people are out of their mind. He's a football player. I don't care if he's 5'11 or 6'8". I know plenty of 6'5 stiffs that can't play a lick of football. So, I'm just waiting for these experts to finally take a step back and say, you know, height doesn't mean squat when it comes to be a football player. Are you a football player? Do you know how to win? Russell Wilson knows how to win. So these experts, combines is the poor man's cheap way, and then a week of a lazy football to go out there and say, ooh, he looks good in a pair of shorts. Yeah, well, I know a whole bunch of guys that look good in a pair of shorts that are watching like you and I on a Sunday. So,
all right, Sean, I got to ask you this because we have a huge following in Canada, and I know you used to play for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. So we actually had a couple guys asking, what was it like winning the 88 Grey Cup over Matt Dunnigan's BC Lions?
Loved it. It was a great thrill. And, you know, people up in the States that maybe don't give it the respect it deserves. And I would have, if you had told me 25 years ago I was going to play in the CFL, I'd say, come on, no way. Well, I had the opportunity to do it. I played 2 years in the NFL. I wanted to start and play. And it's amazing how they look at you different. You know, I wasn't, because of my blown out knee, I wasn't drafted. I went up there and we won the Grey Cup 1 year. I think I threw for 5,000 the next year. And next thing you know, boy, came back to the NFL. And then 10 teams want to talk to you because you got some experience. But more importantly, Mike Riley was my head coach he was the head coach of Oregon State now. One of the great gentlemen in all of football. Let me call my own plays. I learned a lot about football then in our Grey Cup year and the next year. And so it was a great thrill. The people in Canada treated me great. We had one of the all-time great ticker tape parades and minus 30 wind chill. It was brutal. But it was, hey, three downs. Talk about this. The offense is now in the NFL. CFL is pretty similar. You get in the gun a lot. You drop back the pass. You get three downs. So you got to move the football. So I learned a lot about getting the ball out of your hand and wide fields and throwing footballs and letting Mike Riley allow me to have the blessing of calling some plays and understanding even more about football at an early time in my career. But I'm just as proud of that championship. I don't care where you win one at the championship. While it may not be the Super Bowl, but it's their Super Bowl. And while I was a quarterback, it was my Super Bowl. And I'm very proud that we were able to do that at a time when a lot of people, we weren't the favored team when the season started, but we kicked ass the rest of the season. And I had a great group of people to play with. And it all came together and beat a good team because Matt Dunnigan's one of the all-time greats up in the CFL, and we got him by a point at the end. It was fun.
Absolutely. Two guys from the South battling up North. Listen, I want to take advantage, Sean, of your quarterback knowledge. So you already referenced Russell Wilson, but if you could just take a minute, break down Wilson, what his pro prospects are, and then I'd also like to hear what you think about Andrew Luck and RG3.
Wilson is... The thing that jumped out at me, and this was last year, I do a college football show for Total College Sports Network, and our Saturday show will be on Hulu this year, live show, and it'll be great Saturday nights. It is, when I watched him play, when he left North Carolina State and walked on campus, you know, he was named captain in about 8 minutes, it seemed like, but there's something about him. And I feel the same way about RG3, that when guys walk into a room or when you're in, there's a presence. And 5'11 means nothing to me. It doesn't. As long as you understand where to throw it, get the ball out on time. You're throwing through lanes anyway. And he had a command, and you watch him play. Hell, two plays, Michigan State and I believe it was Ohio State's late throw down the middle to get Wisconsin in the end zone, and then the ball around the goal line for Michigan State. Wisconsin, they've been playing in a national title. They were in national title contention. This is a great guy. This has a great understanding of what it takes to lead people. See, I don't believe you manage people. I believe you manage things and you lead people. And I think Russell Wilson's going on about age 32 when it comes to his presence and leadership. All the other stuff will come together. Guy recognizes it's not recognizing your strengths as a quarterback. It's recognizing your weaknesses. And he realizes his weakness, according to the perception of everybody else, is 5'11". Well, had he allowed that weakness to take over his game, he wouldn't be worth the hoot. He said, I'll use it to my advantage. I'll beat you in other ways.
All right,
While Russell Wilson's playing, do you ever look at him and say, looks like he's 5'11"? No, you say he looks like he's a full-grown man playing football. Presence, leadership, there's nothing about Russell Wilson's game that tells me he's not going to be successful at this level.
All right, Sean, I'm going to put you on the spot right now. I know you've only seen a couple preseason games of him. Is there a chance Russell Wilson becomes an 8 to 10 year starter in the NFL?
Well, I don't think there is. Yeah, and this doesn't mean that I don't believe Matt Flynn's a player. I do. I don't believe Matt Flynn's, I can say this, I believe Matt Flynn's closer to Matt Schaub than he is Scott Mitchell. When Mitchell got a couple starts and got the big contract, and so did Schaub, and he got the big one in Houston. Matt, don't quit on that plan yet. If Pete Carroll stepped into a pile of dump and came out smelling like a rose, he's got two good ones. Now, Russell Wilson, it is preseason. I always caution people. But I'm not even looking at the stats in preseason. I'm looking how a guy commands a football team. And he's going to have his trouble. Believe me, in game three, Russell Wilson's going to throw three picks and get his butt kicked. But I'll promise you one thing. He'll respond. That's how you find out. Anybody can play when you're winning 42-3. But can you play when you're going 6 out of 18 in the first half with three picks and your team's down by 13 points and you've got to go in the locker room and face your guys and come out at the home field and have your people booing you and asking for Matt Flynn? Do you have stones enough to step back out there and come back and win a game when you're not playing your best? And I believe he does. So there's no question in my mind this kid's going to be successful. And I'll tell you, as much as I like Luck and Griffin, and I think we got five really good rookie starters as quarterbacks in this league. They'll go through some growing pains. Do not be shocked at the end of this season if a guy with as good of numbers as any of them is Russell Wilson. If he's healthy, don't be shocked. I mean, it will not shock me if at the end of the year they say offensive rookie of the year is Russell Wilson. That won't shock me one bit.
Interesting.
And I think there's plenty of special ones. I think RG3 could be the most explosive quarterback in the league in 4 years. And Luck, the safest pick on the planet this year. He's the closest thing they could have got to Peyton Manning, a football family. His dad played quarterback. His dad's the athletic director of West Virginia. You know the Manning's background. He's cerebral. He's got great feet. Matter of fact, better feet than Peyton had when he came out. Better runner. Probably physically stronger at the time coming out of school. This is the first time in a while that we've got a bunch of rookies that look, a lot of them, two of them for sure, and I think Russell Wilson, too, can't miss. Now, with Miami and Tannehill and with Weeden and Cleveland, a lot of it's going to have to do. See, I think Griffin and Luck are good enough to overcome bad teams. The question is, will Weeden and Tannehill be good enough? Tannehill's got no receivers but best to throw to. Cleveland, we know them. They'll be in the Matt Barkley sweepstakes if they keep playing like they're playing. Yet they're not going to need to because I think Weeden's pretty good. So how can those guys overcome bad teams? But Russell Wilson will plod along, and we'll pick people apart. And when all's said and done, you're going to love the kid. I loved him at Wisconsin. I love him now. No change. And it's been well documented. This isn't a jump on the bandwagon for Russell Wilson. I've been on his bandwagon while he was about game three of last year.
All right. So, I got to say, Scott, the producer, make sure that this podcast does not go up until I've claimed Russell Wilson in all my leagues. Got it? Okay. Listen, Sean, I really appreciate your time today. It was very gentlemanly of you. What are you doing these days? Where can we find you?
Well, I'm just loving my life. I'm raising kids, and you'll get on Total College Sports Network. Our show's on Hulu on Saturday nights, and you can catch me there doing a lot of other stuff for them during the week, and it's going to be explosive and the way people want it, which is no fence it, and we'll get after it and break it down the way it's supposed to. And then I do the Fox pregame show here for the Cowboys locally in Dallas on Fox, and then I have my own podcast on Noon Central, Monday through Friday. You can find it on thecdnetworks.com. And it's Sean and Dave Unfiltered. It's noon to 1 o'clock Central and 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 o'clock on the East, obviously. And then it's always on iTunes. You can download it every day at Search CD Net and look for Sean and Dave Unfiltered. And it's blowing up. We've only been on for about 8 weeks, and we're loving it because I think you guys can tell I'm a truth serum guy. I'm not much of a fence sitter, so I love doing it. I love my, heck, I do it for free, although I don't want to tell anybody that because I'd like to get paid to do it. But I'm just blessed to be able to do this and glad to be back working again.
All right. And also, of course, you can find him on Twitter. His Twitter handle is at Sean, S-E-A-N, Unfiltered. Sean Thalsbury.
Yes, sir.
Sean Thalsbury, thanks so much for joining us on the Razzball Football Podcast.
Hey, let's do it again when football starts. Talk some fantasy. I'd love to.
And as promised, now from the Razzball Baseball Podcast and Razzball.com, the best pitcher with a huge afro, Rudy Gamble. Rudy, welcome to the football podcast.
Thank you. Touchdown.
You know, all jokes aside, I know you're a big football guy, and it's funny because actually as we're taping this, I'm actually live drafting my Razzball Commentator League team from Razzball.com. But I'm also
is that your built-in excuse if the team doesn't do well?
No, but you know what? It's funny because it's a 10-team league. And I got a couple people actually knowing it, but I promised the people who joined it that we'd reference it a couple times in the podcast. So I am live drafting in the Razzball Podcast League. You can follow it under the RCL post at razzball.com. But one thing that's really cool, and I'm actually using this to live draft, there's a tool called the Cheat Sheet Wizard. I already talked about it today, but I know I was telling you about it. And I actually have it synced to my draft. So I have my own personal cheat sheet along with a bunch of other tools, and it's actually literally synced to my Yahoo Draft. It's fantastic.
So, yeah, I mean, this isn't something I've been looking for on the baseball side because it kills me that I do all my rankings kind of in spreadsheets and everything.
Yep.
And I have no desire. I'm in too many leagues that I'm not going to go in and play around and rank 200 guys or put my dollar values in, which is even more painful.
Right.
Does it let you import your spreadsheet in?
I believe it does. I didn't have a spreadsheet, so I've actually been using this for my whole preseason. So I just built the sheet off that, but I believe that it does.
Although, yeah, don't quote me. I mean, I'll check it out for come baseball season. Yeah, I could. You know, I mean, I think. Yeah, I mean, there's always so much of that Google Doc I could use. We had a Google Doc for some of our drafts that I did with Gray. And I spent so much time kind of making sure, marking off players that were done. It's like, can't focus on actually trying to figure out who you're going to pick.
And that's exactly it. And so as everyone comes off the board, what it does is it compresses my cheat sheet along with highlighted targets. Anyway, check it out, cheatsheet.com. It really is...
Cheatsheetwizard.com.
Excuse me, cheatsheetwizard.com. Yeah. It is a great application. So, Rudy, I know you know your baseball, but the word on the street is that you also know your football, and apparently you're a big J-E-T-S Jets fan.
No. Giants. The world champion Giants are my team.
San Francisco Giants?
Well, they're not defending world champs. Talking the Giant, yeah, New York Giants, yeah. That been following them for like over 20 years. So it's, I got to enjoy. I mean, like once the season starts, you can't really, there's only so much you could say you're the defending champs. Yeah, you know, you start the year 3-5, it kind of sounds kind of hollow.
I typically don't follow.
We're not very good the year after.
Yeah, fair enough. I typically don't follow teams anymore because I play so much fantasy. I more follow, you know, the overall league and players.
That's like me in baseball.
But I'll tell you this. If I was a Giants fan, I mean, I'd be walking around with a little bit extra swagger. When you've got a defensive line like that, I mean, it's just so absolutely dominant.
The thing that people are like, the Giants haven't had, you know, incredible, you know, the two times they won the Super Bowl, they didn't have great regular seasons. They had a great one the year after they beat the Patriots the first time, and then the Plaxico event happened. memorialized in our Razzball football podcast theme song. Football is just really about, there's not too many things you can do that basically just kill the other team. If you've got, to me, it comes down to if you have a great quarterback, that actually could stay upright, so you have some semblance of an offensive line, or like an incredible defensive line. And the reality is that if you've got all the defensive line healthy that the Giants have, you know, you could basically beat anyone anytime. And they've had just trouble keeping it together in the regular season. Last year, OC was out. Justin Tuck was a shadow of himself last year. He had nothing. He was just so banged up. But Jason Pierre-Paul had a pretty good year.
Yeah, no doubt.
To me, if they can get a year where Tuck and Pierre-Paul are healthy and just the rest of the guys do fine, it's going to be a fun season to watch.
So how many of the Razzball Commentator League leagues are you in? 7, 8 this year?
No, I'm 9. I abstain.
Come on.
SC football. It's because I've got, you know, but to be fair, you know, usually I use the time to basically get away from baseball, you know, because you're in so many leagues, so you have that many more kind of heartaches and kind of, you know, there's only so many times you can kind of yell to the heavens about, you know, getting screwed. But this year it's that, I mean, we're just going to be, I think, blowing out, you know, even more on the baseball side, starting, you know, trying to finish what we've started with things like the Streaminator and the Playerator.
Right.
And I'd say for those of you, you know, for everyone listening to this podcast who either doesn't care about baseball or just cares as equally about football, I'm open to any and all suggestions to, you know, how do we kind of strengthen our, you know, the football stats available on our site? You know, we're not looking to replicate what you can get on all the other sites. It's trying to, you know, so, you know, part of what I've been doing and kind of anything I've been doing on fantasy football is just trying, digging around and trying to figure out where, you know, where there seemed to be kind of, you know, a lack of good data out there.
Right.
Where is there kind of advantages that we can give the Razzball reader?
Absolutely. And that's a fair point. But the football coverage is great. We've got, of course, all the great writers there this year, including Sky, JB, and much more. So there's a lot of good quality content. Plus, you got the podcast. And like I said, starting next week, it's going to be JB and I with the weekly report every week. We tape it on Tuesdays. It's up on the site on Wednesdays. So are you telling me then, Rudy, I have you as a guest on the Razzball Fantasy Football Show, and you're not playing any fantasy football this year?
That is correct. I'm not gonna lie. But if I had to draft this year, I mean, I've paid enough attention to know that. And yeah, I think the number one thing you're gonna be hearing from people by mid-year, why'd I draft a tight end so early?
Yeah,
I think last year was, you know, I mean, I saw plenty of games with Gronkowski and Jimmy Graham, and they're amazing. Right. It's like, there's the reason why tight ends don't, you know, put up, you know, often put up like 5-10 years of massive stats, you get beat up. You know, I watched Jeremy Shockey go from like an amazing player to an average pain in the ass player.
Yeah, but he was overrated beginning.
That was starting like his second or third year. He had an amazing first or second year, and then his stats just went downhill. He disappeared during games. I was like, I don't care if it's Tom Brady or Drew Brees throwing to Gronkowski or Jimmy Graham. It's not going to keep him healthy. So my early over-under is that those two guys who I think it's fair to say are the top two tight ends. I think their over-under is 12 games this year.
So let me ask you this. As a Giants fan, and I know I'm in trouble this year because I've really been banging on that I don't like the Steelers or the Cowboys this year for fantasy purposes. But as a Giants football fan, I mean, who's the real rival? Who do you really hate? Is it the Eagles, the Skins, the Cowboys?
So it matters where you grow up. I grew up in New Jersey, so you know, so New Jersey is like a 2/3 Giant. Yeah, well, you have the Jet fans in there, but you have your share of Philly fans. So you're so Philly is the team I kind of hate the most. I like Philly fans.
Yeah, you better say that.
Because they're as insane about football as we are. I mean, I also say that so they don't chuck a battery at me. But so Eagles, and then the Cowboys are like 1A. I moved from New York to Austin, Texas. And thank God, this is like a U of T town, and no one really cares about the Cowboys here.
Right.
'Cause if I had to deal with just Cowboy fans all over the place, and... Well, I'll tell you, I kind of do like listening to the Cowboy fans because I think at this point they're getting resigned to the fact that Jerry Jones runs like a ship of just pure mediocrity. From fantasy purposes, I think the Cowboys have always been a better fantasy team than a real team.
Right.
Romo puts up, you know, great stats. I do think even in real football, he's an underrated player. You know, I mean, Ware is amazing. Murray, I mean, I do think, you know, the one thing is that they don't have a second running back, and Felix Jones isn't a real running back.
Right.
So I see DeMarco Murray being like could definitely be a top five running back this year. I don't think the Cowboys will be a very good team, and I think it's just because as a franchise, they they're awful evaluators. They fall in love with their players,
yep.
Give them big contracts, and yeah, I mean it's just kind of seeing it over and over. Thinking Patrick Creighton's anything more than like an average third receiver. You know, I mean, you know, paying Miles Austin crazy money after 1 year and not showing that he could stay healthy.
Right.
Obviously falling in love with Roy Williams didn't help, but you know, he was a Longhorn. So I can't hate on him too much.
Hook 'em horns.
Listen,
I just want to tell you, I just finished my draft and the cheat sheet wizard told me that based on my personal cheat sheet, I have the number one team. And based on the experts poll, I have the fourth best team. So
yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
Well, if you can't draft the best team based on your notes, that's, you know, I always feel like it makes me feel better about my team to feel that, you know, at least I drafted as, you know, well based on my assumptions going in.
Right.
I don't want to burst your bubble on telling you the how well your projections or any projections out there can predict how well teams do.
Of course.
It's close to, it's just whether it's above 0%.
Well, it's that, and then it's how you react during the season.
I mean, I think, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I guess the jaded person would say, oh, well, you know, there's a lot of love for fantasy sports and football, you know, given the short season, you know, is probably the highest luck quotient. But we all know it's that, you know, you've got to be able to react early on. You've got to see the emerging, you know, players, the running back situations particularly, and, you know, catch the Victor Cruises out there. And I think it's something that, you know, I've definitely taken on the baseball side, and where you just don't be Jerry Jones. Don't fall in love with your players.
Right.
You know, that, you know, you've got to be ready to pull the trigger when you see something like, you know, Victor Cruz having like a breakout game, and knowing he's got a top, you know, 6 or 7 quarterback throwing to him. Like, I wouldn't be surprised that, you know, if there's like someone comes out of New Orleans just on fire. You know, last year was Sproles. I mean, I put up crazy numbers. Just because you've got Breeze and you don't have an incredible receiving core.
Right.
New England, you know, you already have Welker, Gronkowski, Hernandez. And they just don't really throw to their running backs to get it, to make them valuable. But, you know, I think it's that you look at a couple teams and you kind of wait and try to find that breakout player.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. All right, Rudy, listen, we got to wrap this up, though, because I got to get to the notes. There's people who are here for actually hard-hitting fantasy advice.
Thought
I lost you for a second. I thought you hung up on me.
Can't do hard hitting. I'm doing jabs.
you're gonna jab us and outlast us. All right, listen, Rudy. We might bring you in mid-season for a quick little NFC East update, maybe. Sound good?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Let me know. If the tight ends kind of fail, then I'll come in and say I told you so.
Okay. You're talking about tight ends and failure. I don't know what you're talking about. So.
What's
Rudy.
That? Kind of guy.
I'll see you next week on the Raspball Baseball Podcast, buddy.
Cool.
Thanks, Rudy. And here's some of the news and notes that we're covering this week. Mike Wallace has returned to the Pittsburgh Steelers camp. Personally, I'm not a big fan of the Steelers offense this year. They're having line issues. First-round pick David DeCastro is out with a double knee injury, I believe. And I think if you're looking at the Steelers right now, you have to remember how every 7 or 8 years one of Bill Cowher's teams would go 5-11 out of the blue. I'm thinking this might be Mike Tomlin's turn. So even though Wallace is back, I'm still concerned about Roethlisberger's shoulder. I don't know that Antonio Brown can do what he did without a fully immersed Mike Wallace in the offense. So I'm just going to try and avoid Steelers at all costs myself. Speaking of teams I'm not touching, I know we've discussed this already quite a bit this preseason, but Dez Bryant and the Dallas Cowboys, Bryant now has a babysitter, or multiple babysitters, actually. They've got people that are acting as a security/safety net for him to keep him on the level, which is good for him as an individual, but as a fantasy owner, I don't know that I want any part of that. Also, Miles Austin has bad hams. Jason Witten's spleen is lacerated, and Dallas's offensive line is a mess. They've actually got an interesting team defense, but I can't buy much into the offense, and I'm going to avoid them like I'm avoiding the Steelers. I mean, actually, I should pause. I got no hate for the Steelers or Cowboys, okay? Steelers and Cowboys fans, this is like two of the biggest audiences. I don't want to mess with you guys. But what I'm just saying is that I could see a scenario where Dallas actually has a pretty good defense this year because they're keeping it tight because they might have to do some pitch and putt type offense. I could see the offense being real slow. Now, if everyone's healthy, it's a different story. But at this point, I'm not putting my money into the Dallas Cowboys. However, Here's a bad pair of hamstrings that I'll reach for, and it belongs to Denarius Moore. I love his upside. He's going right now approximately pick 115. That's in the same categories where you're going to find guys like Sidney Rice and Doug Baldwin. So I'm going to take Moore's upside there. I'm grouping Rice and Baldwin together as Seattle wide receivers. But I think Denarius Moore, if he can stay healthy, I think that offense could actually be really good. I know people have been up and down on Carson Palmer this year. I think Palmer is going to have a good season. I think he's rejuvenated. I think there's a lot of weapons on offense there. I think that could be a sneaky good offense, and I think Denarius Moore might wind up being the most interesting piece other than Darren McFadden for the Oakland Raiders this year. He might have lousy receivers to throw to, but I tell you, Russell Wilson is going behind Alex Smith and Mark Sanchez right now in drafts as we're taping this. So go get him. I mean, what's his upside? Who knows? But that's an underrated D that's built to win now. It's a good offensive line. He's got some interesting backs. Marshawn Lynch, I don't think he's going to be suspended. He's a very good runner behind that line. And Robert Turbin, the fourth round pick out of Utah State, has looked really good in the preseason. He is a player. So I think you're going to see that offense do really well with Russell Wilson at the helm. You've also got to factor in that, too. That's a very winnable division. They've got four games against the Arizona Cardinals. And they've also got two games against the Rams. If they can, take one from San Francisco, maybe when they're playing up in Seattle, they could be right in contention. I really like that defense a lot. I got some sneaky D's that I'm going to bring up in a little while. Seattle's one of them. So I think Russell Wilson in that situation, especially where he's going again in drafts. I mean, people are drafting backup quarterbacks ahead of him. I think Russell Wilson is a guy you want to go and get if you can right now, because that upside could be fantastic. I am surprised, however, to see Kenny Britt is going around pick 100. And it's because in the drafts that I'm in, I'm seeing him go even later than that. I'd rather have Reggie Wayne or Pierre Garçon around that same spot, just because if they're healthy, obviously they're going to get 16 games. And I think Garçon's getting hyped up a little bit right now, but no one's talking about Reggie Wayne. Reggie Wayne is a pro. So I like those two guys, but if Kenny Britt is going in Lance Moore, Greg Little territory, I'm all over Britt's upside, especially since he's likely to come off the pup this week. One thing I'm always trying to do when I play fantasy football is I'm always thinking playoffs. So, you know what? Is Britt going to be suspended for a couple games? Probably. Is Mikel Ashore going to be suspended for a couple games? Probably. But are these guys that can help me week 13, 14, 15? Absolutely. Another guy who's looking good right now and ready for opening day, which is good, considered you probably had to use a fourth round pick to get him, is Hakeem Nicks. Now, it seems like Nicks has been around forever, but he's only 24 years old. And his upside, if he can stay healthy, is a top five receiver. I like him a lot this year, especially if you're getting that kind of value on him. A player that I'm not liking the value on is Austin Collie, who apparently is healthy as of right now and is good to go for week one. But concussions are scary in real life. Never mind fantasy football. So I understand the upside, but I'd rather grab a Jonathan Baldwin. Keep in mind, Dwayne Bowe is a free agent after the season, so Baldwin is the future in Kansas City, or Kendall Wright in that same vicinity. Vince Young was just cut by the Buffalo Bills. This is really important if you play in Canadian Football League drafts, because he is an elite first-round talent. He's got Henry Burris upside, but at a Kerry Joseph price. So go get yourself some Vince Young if you're playing in CFL fantasy drafts. By the way, those aren't real. Jonathan Stewart has a nicked up ankle. He's also getting over a calf injury. So do you go grab D'Angelo? You know what? I have been avoiding the Carolina run game all season, but D'Angelo Williams is going in the 80s right now. Other running backs going in the 80s are Roy Helu, Kevin Smith, and Michael Bush, who are all maybe nice flex plays. But if there's a chance that Jonathan Stewart is going to be banged up this year, and I think that Carolina offense is actually going to be really interesting. D'Angelo could get a lot of run there. So if it's the eighth round, I'm looking at D'Angelo. Eric Decker hauled in two touchdowns this week versus the Niners. But I still like Demaryius Thomas's upside better even though you have to grab Thomas a couple of rounds earlier, Thomas is going around the 7th round. Decker you can get maybe around the end of the 8th, beginning of the 9th. But I think as much as Decker is interesting, if I'm drafting a 3rd or 4th wide receiver around there, I'd rather have a little bit more upside, which I do think Thomas has. I know this week David Wilson caused a lot of buzz, and rightfully so. But here's what's interesting. He's going right now in the mid-90s. Would I grab him 2 rounds earlier to make sure I get him? No doubt. Bradshaw's got a track record of foot and ankle injuries, and the third man on the depth chart is DJ Ware. At worst, Wilson is part of a running back by committee, and I mean, they have to keep Bradshaw fresh. If Bradshaw is going to be, you know, the main runner this year, I just can't see him getting 1,600 combined yards again this year. So I think Wilson is going to get a lot of burn there. But his upside, you know, is a lead back behind a great offensive line on a team that can throw. So that's a running back that I would love to gamble on in the 7th or 8th round if he's going in the 9th or 10th. Speaking of which, I've also this year grabbed Ben Tate, whether I have Arian Foster or not, because he's going to get touches regardless. So he can be a flex play for you. But I think if there's any chance of Foster having any sort of injury, and he does have a track record with bad hamstrings, Ben Tate could be a top 8 running back behind that offensive line and that offense. A couple quick points on some defenses here. Now, these are hard to predict, but I have a feeling all the offensive turmoil in New York, I could see the Jets defense playing up to their potential, which is already really high. I know they're tough to predict this time of year, and I know Jets were a trendy defensive pick the last couple years. I think they're under the radar a little bit this year. I do like the Jets upside. I also, like I mentioned earlier, really like the Seahawks this year, especially in that division. I think that that's a really fast defense. Plus, I mean, they look really fresh in those new uniforms. I also like the Bengals defense. I think that both the Ravens and Steelers are getting older. I think the Browns are still a couple years away from really having their young playmakers emerge. I like that underrated, it's kind of a no-name defense, but I like that underrated Cincinnati defense. I also, like I mentioned earlier, I think that the Cowboys could be a sneaky pick. And these are after everyone's reached for Green Bay, Pittsburgh, and San Francisco. So I'm not talking about defenses that you have to spend, you know, you have to pick before somebody else. Those are defenses you'll find between 10, 14, even 16. But I do like the upside in those 4 defenses. The one I would reach for, and this goes back to our interview last week with author BJ Rudell, is the San Francisco defense. That is someone I would definitely be reaching for. And I think sometimes people forget because it's difficult. We understand it's difficult to protect defenses. The preseason favorite rarely, if ever, winds up being the best defense. But if you were in the 9th round or maybe even the 10th round, would you rather have a 4th receiver or San Francisco's D? I can find receivers later. I don't know if I'll find a defense that has that type of upside. You might. You might get lucky. Or you can play matchups. Or, again, you know, do you want the 4th receiver or do you want San Francisco? Anyway, those are just our notes for this week. Next week, we're back for the regular show. And the regular show will be me and JB every single week bringing you all the trends that's happening with fantasy football. Again, you can always follow us and ask us questions on Twitter. I am at Nick Capozzi, N-I-C-K-C-A-P-O-Z-Z-I. And JB is at JB Gilpin, J-B-G-I-L-P-I-N. Of course, all the cheat sheets, all the tiers, all the rankings are on rasball.com. Just click on football. It'll take you there. All the guys are putting up all the content you need to get ready for your draft. And that's pretty much everything you need to know. Thanks for tuning in to the Rasball Football Podcast. That kick-ass Rasball Football Podcast theme song you're rocking to right now, that's by Symphony of Nine featuring Juice Jones. We'd also like to thank the staff at Glenmore Records for helping us put this together. If you need quality audio recording done in the city of Toronto, check out glenmorerecords.com.
It's the Rasball Podcast. It's the Rasball Podcast. It's the Rasball Podcast. It's the Rasball Podcast.
Every little muscle man.
It's the Rasball Podcast.
Makes some break because of
the fans. It's the Rasball Podcast. Ooh.
baby.